Good afternoon. Welcome to the RIDAC Business Profile number 5. We're here with Pepe Ianello, and we're talking about Pepe's Papery. With me is John, and I'm Tim. It's the 30th of January.
And we're in the Canberra Centre.
We are indeed.
As you can hear by the ambient noise.
Pepe, thanks for taking your evening out to talk to us.
My pleasure.
Well, I guess our first standard question is, what is it that you're selling at Pepe's Papery?
Pepe's Papery is all about unique stationery from around the world, from writing instruments, from leather goods, from journals and photo albums. Mm-hmm. And then we add accessories. So we're not a typical stationery shop like a Penfolds. We stock brands that other people don't stock.
Mm-hmm.
For the uniqueness of the product.
Yep.
And that goes through all the categories. If it's paper, if it's album, if it's journal, if it's once again, if it's pens.
Mm.
So that's what Pepe's Papery is all about, and the writing stationery, as well as re-educating the general public about fine stationery.
How did you personally acquire a passion in this area?
As silly as it might sound, when I was a 10-year-old boy, I had a fetish for stationery.
Okay.
So I under my bed, I had the 4-litre containers of ice cream full of... One was pens, one was pencils, one was paper, one was, you know, mm-hmm. texters and crayons.
Right.
So I've had this dream of Pepe's Paper for many, many years, and 2 or 3 years ago, I just said, I have to do it. Timing wasn't right, and we just did it, and since then we've just evolved and adjusted it to where Pepe should really stand.
Mm-hmm.
Today in Australia, there's nothing like Pepe's Papery.
Mm-hmm.
Our competitors all specialise in just pens or just paper. Or just albums.
Mm.
So
I know, in terms of writing experience, last year I came and bought my girlfriend for her birthday pen, paper, ink, the whole works. And I probably took up about 20 minutes of your staff's time and paid about $500, so that was probably worth your while.
Yeah, no. it's reinventing that whole thing. Now, I mean, Keith and Nicole handed out personalised stationery as their gift to their guests.
Mm. Was that yours?
No, it wasn't mine.
Okay.
Unfortunately. But now, when you go to a party, I'm starting to see where, instead of your friend ringing you up and saying, "Hey, thanks for the great night," I'm actually receiving a letter or a postcard saying, "Thanks for the great night," and it's personalised stationery. So that's just coming back into which in Europe and America, it's been there for hundreds of years of that. Mm. You know, correspondence stuff.
I think in the age of email, the handwritten note's taking on a whole new level of importance.
People are appreciating the fountain pen, people are appreciating paper more than ever.
Mm.
We're getting more educated about the quality of products, the quality of papers.
Mm.
Now, Pepe, you've got a number of businesses, of which Pepe's Paper is another. What are the other ones you have?
We have the art store in Canberra. The art store has 4 stores. Philip, Braddon, Chuggernaut and Belconnen Mall. They are fine art stores. And then from that we have the craft store, which we have Gungahlin, Woden Plaza and our new store in the Canberra Centre, and they are focused on craft. And then we also have the framing store, which is in Belconnen, Gungahlin, Philip and Braddon. So our logos are very similar, so they interlink part of our marketing throughout TV and radio. People associate the 3 brands for pricing, service, availability.
Now, that's a lot of businesses. Did you start with? Which one did you start with?
I started with the art store in Colby Court 7 years ago, and I was just started out as just a little fine art store, and that's all I wanted, just to chug along in life.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just the doors have just opened for opportunities.
Yeah, so I would say, you know, 14 stores in 7 years, that's really fantastic growth. When you talk about, you know, that sort of thing, who are your customers, and how do you think you appeal to those people more than, say, some of your competitors?
With the 3 brands and Pepe's, it's I was looking at the opportunities of whatever our competitors were doing, say the Linkcrafts and Spotlights, and it was just grabbing a category out of those big superstores and doing it well. If it was the product range, the pricing, the service, and just specialising in that. And marketing, as in marketing to the end user, the availability of our locations and the service, once again, the service and the pricing and the range. So that there were the opportunities that, that came to me.
Speaking of location, we're here in the Canberra Centre right now. How do you find being a retailer in the large shopping centre environment compared to, especially to say, something like Colby Court, where it's a
The traditional fine art store throughout the world has been always a destination shop.
Right.
We're really only selling to 10% of the market, maybe only 5% of the market.
Mm.
I'm probably quite unique with my art stores because I'm not just a fine art store. We are craft and we are wedding and stationery and quite broad to the everyday person.
Mm.
Being in a shopping centre, we're exposed to a broader market, to people that would never think that Pepe's would have seen it before. They would never drive to Pepe's. But people walk past our door and go, wow, it's unique, it's different.
Mm-hmm.
So that straight away invites people into it.
Mm-hmm.
But also it has brought us into a lot of interstate guests and international guests because they come to the Canberra Centre to visit, as you do when you're on holidays.
Yep.
So we've had a lot of interstate and international guests come to our store that would not normally go to Colby Court.
Yeah, so the passing trade synergy of the location makes up for the price.
Very true.
Okay.
All right. Tell us a bit about yourself. You know, you mentioned you've got a passion for stationery and arts kind of thing. You've had that for a long time. I know you've got a young family as well. How do you find managing 14 stores, you know, and doing all these things?
Well,
must be Superman. I don't see any cape, but tell us how you do
it. I've got no grey hair. It all started, I was going to be an architect, and I went to the building industry for 4 years, started a stationery business with two partners, and from that the stationery became part of my passion as a child, and it was the everyday stationery, the stapler, the pencil, and then that led into the art industry, and then that led into Pebbies and craft and framing.
Mm.
So that was sort of the background, and I dabbled in, I've had two restaurants as well, in I think 6 years ago we had two restaurants. Juggling the family, it is a true juggle. I've got to shrink the 7 day working week into five,
right.
And I've got to do it, you know, between 9 and 5 and look after my family. Then after I've put them to sleep,
then you do the paperwork.
I do the paperwork and do all the other things you do in small business.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I sort of juggle it. And once I have great support teams, I have great managers in all stores and in the head office, which helps us tick along every day, which takes a lot of my pressure off.
When you talk about, you know, you've got 14 stores, a couple of people in your head office, well, how many people all up do you think you employ, and you know, how do you recruit those quality people that you need to support such a burgeoning organisation?
Well, currently we're employing about 85 people. Which, once again, I left a corporate business to only employ 2 or 3 people. And here I am 7 years later, employing double the amount of people that I walked away from. It is a juggle. Once again, the support that I have from the high end to the low end, that helps us get through the day. Employing the right people, that's always a challenge.
Mm.
Finding the right people with the right passion. But we get there. We get there through, you know, sometimes it's slower than most cases than other cases.
So where do you look for staff?
A lot of our staff come from word of mouth.
Okay.
They want to work for our organisation because it's the environment is what they enjoy.
Especially the craft stores, I imagine the craft, they'd already be your customers in a big way.
Yeah, we get a lot of art students. A lot of people do art and craft at all levels.
Yep.
Want to work for us. So
they've got a personal passion for the product as well.
Yeah, and so it makes it easy for them to sell it. And it makes it easy for them to come to work on time. Because they're enjoying the environment and the products. So it makes it very easy.
So you don't advertise in the Canberra Times or on Seek or anything like that?
We have.
Yeah.
It's Murphy's Law, you know, when you're not looking for staff come to you. When you're looking for staff don't come to you.
Mm-hmm.
So we've gone to Seek once and we've picked up 1 or 2 people. We've gone to probably Canberra Times twice in the 7 years.
Mm.
We really haven't picked up the people that we wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been a great success. It's been word of mouth.
Mm.
To date it has been.
Mm.
Alright, tell us why you would own, you know, a retail store in the ACT in Canberra.
Well, being a Canberra boy all my life, that's all I know really, but there's so many beautiful opportunities in Canberra. I mean, I love Canberra as a guy. I've travelled the world and Canberra's probably one of the best cities in the world. Bringing up a family, but business opportunities and business network. It's close to the snow, close to the beach, it's close to the other capital cities. for what I've achieved today, if I went to Sydney or Melbourne or any of the other capital cities, it would have been a lot harder for me to achieve it. I probably would have needed an investor to back me and support me. Being Canberra, being a large country town, and the network people, it's made it a lot easier for me to achieve what I have today.
You also have a store in Bondi, is that
yes.
right? Yeah. How do you find the difference between a store in New South Wales, in Bondi, and the stores here?
Besides the day-to-day logistic things, I've been very blessed with my staff in Bondi. Mm-hmm. I go to Bondi every 2 or 3 weeks. The shop has grown every month for the last 2.5 years. We just had a record Christmas trade. That Bondi store has put us, as I said before, on the world map of fine stationery. Mm-hmm. As I said, we're in most glossy magazines that come out of Sydney or Melbourne. Mm-hmm. It is a challenge. Means I spend less time in Canberra with my staff and my stores. But we're in the process of going live on the internet. We're going to a point of sale system, which will help us through all those basic systems that we're doing manually at the moment to control.
Right. So your point of sale, you're integrating with an internet backend?
Yes.
Okay.
So that happens in the next 6 months. Mm-hmm. So we hope to be live in the next 2 or 3 months with Pepe's.
Right. So in head office, every sale will start ringing up as it happens.
Yeah. We'll go live. And they'll be connected to our website as well.
Yeah. Are you looking to sell much through the internet? Is that on the agenda?
We have a lot of interstate people that come here in Canberra and Bondi and say, are you in Melbourne? Are you in Adelaide? Are you in Brisbane? Are you on the internet? So
it's really looking for that, you know, that in my area.
Yeah, we hope to grow Pepe's Australia-wide, is our long-term plan. Mm-hmm. We hope to be in Melbourne by the end of this year. We're hopefully to generate some serious sales from the internet. We've spent a lot of money building our website. Mm-hmm. It won't be just a shopping cart website. It will be... there'll be history about paper, there'll be the history on pens, there'll be history on all the products, how to. Mm-hmm. So it won't be just, it'll be like an information website, interactive. We want our customers to be doing certain things.
How important do you think is the tactile element of the products you sell here? Comparing to the internet, in that here you can pick something up and hold it in your hand, especially something like a pen.
Well, that's where coming to any of our stores, picking up a product, if it's a paintbrush or a pen, you can't beat it. For the person that knows, needs a pen refill, they know that's the code, and they live out far in country, that's where we'll pick up some business.
Yeah.
But really, it's Pepe's and the art stores, it's all about pick up that warm, fuzzy feeling, getting excited about, wow, you know, this is a solid amber pen and I'm touching it.
Mm.
So I think the internet will be only a very small part of our business.
More about sort of some brand awareness.
Brand awareness, waving the flag.
And return customers, I guess. Is
correct. Like I said, communicating to our customers on a regular basis, you know, what's new, what's happening, demonstrations, is what really our email and web is going to be more focused for.
Something that's not on our list, but I'm curious about, as a luxury retailer, would you agree that's a fair description?
Correct.
How much inventory are you carrying at any given time, in dollar terms?
Well, pens alone, we probably have anywhere between $100,000 to $200,000 in pens.
Yeah.
At the moment, we've got two pen there worth $10,000. Mm-hmm. We've got three pens.
I'll probably get a photo of that.
We've got four pens that are, of the last 3 years, are the pen of the year from Faber Castell, and they're $4,000 each. So pen is a big part, so we could be carrying anywhere between $3 to $500,000 worth of stock, depending what time, part of the year it is.
That's 300,000 to half a million.
Correct.
Yeah,
okay, other than doing inventory, what do you think the biggest challenge in getting the business to where it is today has been?
It's staying focused on keep bringing new products. We are a leader in what we're doing, and so I've got a trip to America this year to go and see what's happening on that side of the world, and you know, they're very fashion driven. So our focus is staff training, staff knowledge, new products, the marketing of Pepe's and all our brands. There's still probably 95% of people in Canberra don't know Pepe's exists. So awareness, brand awareness and shop awareness is a lot of our focus. Marketing, we're spending a lot of time and money on marketing.
I'd just like to come back for one second to the inventory again. How often would you sell one of those $5,000 pens?
Maybe once a year.
Right.
We have the pen of the year, and we would sell $1,000 to $2,000 or $3,000 or $4,000 pen regularly.
Mm-hmm.
Could be once a month.
Yep.
It's a very niche market. There's pen collectors. It's like most people who collect watches will collect pens.
Someone's just won Lotto,
yes. But you'd be surprised how many people collect pens as an investment, but as a hobby worldwide.
Mm.
And Canberra has shown me that there is some serious pen collectors. And people.
Do they age? I mean, do they deteriorate with time, or are they generally good for 100 years?
Most of them are good for 100 years.
Right.
The material that they're using is the finest quality.
Mm.
Last year's pen of the year was the Mammoth Ivory, which the ivory is 35,000 years old.
Right. I was literally Mammoth Ivory in
yes.
the good grief.
So that pen alone, just the ivory is 35,000 years old. So
yeah.
the pen is like any artwork or any wine. It will increase in value.
Mm.
People, as pen clubs around the world, they would swap, exchange, and they'll email each other. And so I have a couple of customers in Canberra that are buying pens for the pure collecting, for the value.
I guess it's a case of if you carry the stock, the range of stock, not just the cheap stuff, but the expensive stuff, if people come in looking for something specific, they're going to be able to get it from you rather than having to go somewhere else.
Correct. I mean, we don't stock Mont Blanc, we don't stock Parker, we don't stock Waterman.
Mm.
They're three leading pen brands in Australia.
Mm.
We, as I said, we don't want to carry many household names. It's all about uniqueness, the quality of the material, the product, the value.
You do stock Cross, though?
Yes, we do.
Just because you sell a lot of them? Or
Cross, it's our Parker. It's our Waterman. So
right.
It's a decision we made in the early days, so that's where we sort of start.
Mm-hmm.
We have Lamy, which is a very popular brand.
Mm-hmm.
Lamy is becoming the new Parker of Australia.
Mm. They sell a lot of cute little pens, don't they?
Yeah, they are. They're very good value, but their uniqueness, they're coming out of Germany, the quality's there. So Lamy's, as I said, Lamy's becoming the new Parker of Australia.
Mm.
You mentioned you're just about to go to the States and have a look what's happening over there in this area. Do you travel a lot to look at new products, or who does that? Is that a role that you still take on yourself, or is that something somebody else does?
It's a role that I enjoy doing. It gets me out of the country. I normally do one or two fairs a year, normally Europe and America, and they're always a year or two in front of us.
Mm-hmm.
It means I can buy directly to the manufacturer, see what's happening. I got a trip in May to the New York Stationery Fair, so I've already made some appointments with some suppliers, and we can do some cross-buying, cross-manufacturing. With Pepys, we're about to produce our first range of stationery-branded Pepys from next week.
Okay.
We'll start with wrapping paper, gift tags, and cards, and then we'll go into our range of papers, A4 papers, and we'll continue to.
Where are you getting those manufactured?
We are going to try in Canberra first. Our first print run will be in Canberra.
Mm-hmm.
We'll try and do as much locally. With all our stationery printed and manufactured here.
Okay, fantastic.
So we'll avoid China if possible.
Right. Okay.
Sydney,
nothing against the Chinese, particularly.
Nothing against
the
Chinese.
Support your local community and all.
They're doing very well, and there might be a couple of things we have to get from Sydney.
Mm.
But that's the next step we're taking.
The manufacturing and infrastructure is, is in Canberra that you can leverage on that.
Correct.
Okay.
Is the desire to stick with the Canberra business, aside from naked patriotism, is that just responsiveness of local manufacturers?
I'm very conscious about supporting local business
and
keeping the money in Canberra. That's what Canberra's all about. The price is very good. It's just how you negotiate. Contacts. So for the extra 5 cents or 10 cents, it's not going to really make a huge difference for us.
Are paper goods expensive to ship?
Yeah, because they're heavy.
Heavy, yeah.
So anything that's going to come on a pallet or a box, it's weight.
Mm.
So yes, it is.
For those goods you can't source locally, and when you have to go overseas to find a new supplier, how do you go about establishing those contacts? For someone setting up a business, and they go, I need to import something. How do you go about doing that sort of thing?
For most people, no matter what industry you're in, there's trade fairs all around the world. So for us, we have the Frankfurt Fair, which is called Paper World. So for fine art, for craft, and for fine art stationery, it's there in 10 halls. So as an inexperienced person, you go there and you make the contacts. And it depends how big of the order, they will supply you direct. They will help you ship it. Depends on the size of the order. Once again, it's free into store. If it's not, you pay the freight.
So really look out for those trade fairs. Get over there and have a look.
Yeah, definitely. There's, especially with China, you know, outperforming against America, there's so many trade fairs in China at the moment to manufacture just about anything. On this Thursday, I'm down in Sydney just revisiting my export team down there. So they want to keep exporting more products into Australia for me, or importing, I should say. So I'm sitting down with them and how we can look at our cost and how and improve all the system and making them have the relationship with my suppliers. It is achievable and it's really unlimited what you can bring in, and you'll be surprised at what dollar value you've really got to spend.
How often would you find something new at a trade fair now, having been going to it?
The Australian trade fairs are less and less because I'm getting more picky, because I'm staying at the higher level. There's a lot of people copying at the lower end, duplicating, so we're avoiding that. The Europe countries and the Americans, they are always bringing something new at the high level, something very unique. So every year there's a couple of new lines. I mean, the pen industry, there's always new pens coming through. And stationery and paper is always coming through. Every year there'll be new designs, new styles, new materials.
It's about maintaining that exclusivity.
Correct. And obviously with our suppliers, is try and get anything exclusive to us, as long as we're giving them the volume as well.
Just going back to the internet for a second, what's to stop your pen collectors going direct to the manufacturer saying, I want the pen of the year, and ordering it?
Most of our pen manufacturers will not sell direct.
Okay.
They will, as an example to your question, is I had a customer last year and he walked into our store and he said, look, I can buy this pen. It was a $1,500 pen. He said, I can buy it $300 cheaper from America. And by the time he gets to land and stuff, so I said, okay. I said, what happens if you buy that pen and something happens to it? I said, you've got to send it back to America and hopefully it comes back. You're going to lose all this time factor. So I actually didn't match the price. I met him halfway, and he bought the pen from me. So we'll be aware, we will match any competitor's price, as long as it's not below cost.
Yeah.
And we know there's one or two American pen sites that do silly things. We all have super, super specials. If we want to move a discontinued line or a dead stock, we'll sell it at 50% off or below cost just to move it. But if it's, as you said, the pen of the year, and someone walks in and says, I want it for $1,000, good luck to him. If the person, it's probably not genuine or it's been stolen.
After 7 years, what do you think the most satisfying thing about running business is? Either, you know, you've realised a dream in Pepe's Papery, but the business as a whole?
I still get excited going to work every day. I could do this job 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. I still get excited unpacking boxes. If there's something new that I've ordered or the staff's ordered, I want to be there when
Christmas.
It happens. It's like Christmas. If we get a shipment in any of our stores from overseas, I want to unpack it. I want to check it. I love what I do every day. I think that's a driving force. Every day we're improving what we're doing as a business. We're outsourcing more and more things. If it's our point of sale system, if it's payroll, we're improving our business as a large organisation from top to bottom. And most of my team are very excited about everything we're doing. So that drives me, and there's still lots of opportunities for us.
Where did you find the threshold was for outsourcing payroll?
That's just only happened recently.
Yep.
We've looked at it as a cost.
Yep.
Paying 80 plus staff. I was taking one of our bookkeepers a lot of time, a lot of money, while she should have been really doing the bookkeeping work. Instead of, you forgot to pay this person half an hour overtime.
Then the bookkeeper's got to go back for half an hour of their time to sort it out.
Correct. So since then, I mentioned before, I employed our new financial officer Paul Sharman, and we've just got some quotes from local companies and interstate companies, and we're on our way to Sydney next week to see one of the companies and hopefully come to an agreement on outsourcing our payroll, just so we can streamline our business.
Right, so it's only just been recently that the business has grown to the sort of point where that's worthwhile.
Correct.
Do you think, looking back, maybe at 60 employees, you might have thought about moving to it then if you knew then what you know now?
Definitely. If I knew half the things I know today, I would have bought a point-of-sale system 7 years ago.
Right, okay.
But the investment I would have had to make in the point-of-sale system, I probably would have changed it 3 or 4 times by now.
Yeah.
So the money I've saved, I've done everything manually. So I'm sort of doing this all backwards and survive.
Which is how most businesses grow.
Yeah. So the exciting thing about now is putting all these new disciplines and systems in place, and we're really going to see hopefully financial rewards from the back-end systems and the point-of-sale systems. So very exciting for us.
You've mentioned that one of your goals is to take Pepper's Papery nationwide, and we've talked a lot about the internet. Where else do you see the business going in, say, 5 or 10 years? A real national presence, obviously.
For art and craft, we will stay in Canberra.
Is the market just too crowded in Australia?
Especially Sydney and Melbourne. I have a lot of colleagues that own the leading art stores and craft stores in Sydney and Melbourne, and I wouldn't like to go there and just interfere in that territory. It is very flooded as well. Pepe's is my best opportunity because it's so unique. Framing, there is an opportunity with framing, taking that, because I believe we're doing something unique in framing as a brand and price points, and that's still only at the beginning of where we want to take framing. We've introduced DVD plasma screens into our framing stores.
How does that work?
Well, it means the customer in our Balcony store, we can take a photo of your artwork or your photography.
Oh, and then show it with the different mattings and
correct.
Do that dynamically.
So, okay. And so on the plasma screen on the wall, like the customer can take a step back and go, wow.
Oh, okay.
And when that's not happening, we'll have finished products, we'll have DIY products on the plasma. Now, to date, I don't know if there's any framing stores in Australia doing that. There's a few with the camera, but to the plasma on the wall, there isn't. So, yeah, so art and craft will stay in Canberra unless a major investor comes in and says, Pepe, let's take it. Of any of my brands, you know, if anything could happen, if I get a backer, we'll take it to whatever level. But at this stage, Pepe's just going to chug along and grow Pepe's nationally by himself.
What about your own goals? I mean, do you see yourself staying really hands-on in the business like you are now?
Yes, I do. As I said before, I've given myself 10 years. I've been very hands-on in all categories. And obviously, I enjoy the marketing and the sourcing of the products. So I'll play a bigger role in that and take a step from the day-to-day...
Day-to-day management.
But 10 years to really keep driving the brand and reassess it. If I'm still happy and still got the fire in my belly, I'll keep going with the brands.
Right, let's turn to, say, doing business from a legislative perspective. If there was a local or federal government policy or position that you could have free reign with...
If you were king, what would you change?
Yeah, what would you change?
That's a very hard question. There's not many things I would change. I mean, we haven't touched corporate business in any of our brands, so there's opportunities for that. But generally, I mean, with employment and staff and that's swaying more to us, that we have a bit more backing and flexibility with staff. But there's not a lot of things I would change. I'm happy with the shopping centres, how I've been treated, being in the malls, with the government. There's not many other things.
No workplace bargaining agreements. But you'd say, just give me a flat award, it'd be nice and easy to manage. Or
we're looking at all our, as I said, we're talking about payroll and we're assessing what we're going to pay people and trying to simplify that. Yes, we are looking at that. Today there's no major hurdles because we haven't come across them. We're in the process of sitting down. We want to sit down with some serious legal people and say, okay, what can we achieve? Where are our hurdles with the workplace agreement? And say to our staff and say, look, this is, if, it doesn't matter what day of the week it is, this is what you're getting paid.
So you look at standardising your conditions?
Yeah, we are.
You'd like to get rid of penalty rates?
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. We definitely are. We are looking at that. I met a colleague in Sydney just before Christmas, and she's just put that into place. So if you can only work Sunday, then why should you be rewarded, because that's the only day you can work? Mm-hmm. So why should you get $30 or $40 while the full-time, you don't know nowhere near as much as full-time? So we are looking
full-time
at...
Full-time weekday person.
Yeah, so we are, yes, we are looking at standardising it. We haven't crossed any hurdles yet because we haven't pursued it that hard.
What do you think the biggest risk facing either Pepe's or, you know, the art store, craft store, you face at the moment?
The biggest risk is always the financial risk that you take in any business. All the risk I've taken is coming from my pocket. All the loans are from, you know, are mine. I don't have a backer. That's why I have the fire in my belly, because I've got to keep going, because I don't want to wake up and my business is not there tomorrow, because I feel like I've let myself down, but also my staff down and my suppliers down, and that sort of snowballs, because we've worked so hard for our brands, and so I'm so conscious about those categories of, you know, going bankrupt, see, and those whole process. So that's why we're so hungry to
make sure it works.
All works and get recognised for what we've achieved as well. This year we hope to go for the Telstra Small Business Award for what we've achieved in the last few years. So yeah, we're very focused on making it work, and that's why we're investing a lot of money in the point of sale system to control our costing and our discipline, so it doesn't happen.
Do you ever wish you had a 9-to-5 day job?
Sometimes, only for a second. I love what I do. When you get the phone call on the Sunday saying that the cash register doesn't work, that's a pain sometimes, but it's nothing really major. It could be worse.
Stuff happens.
It could be worse.
Are you at all concerned with the point of sale that you'll end up trying to micromanage the whole thing as you watch every sale flash up?
No, because I don't want to sit in front of a computer and watch that.
Yeah.
I've also hired a consultancy guy that starts with me next month.
Yeah.
He's a retail consultancy.
Mm-hmm.
So his software package will talk to our point of sale system.
Yeah.
So literally I get a report from each shop. Mm-hmm. It tells me if we've made money, lost money, mm-hmm. And it's on one piece of paper. And that's what I want to manage.
Right.
The other bits and pieces, I want to pay people to be watching those things. Because I want to be anywhere in the world getting those reports. That's what this system's all about.
Yep.
And saying, hey, we've made money, we've had a great month or a great week, mm-hmm. and this is my reports, these are our categories.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm not an office person. That's why I'll keep employing people
to do that.
And once again, that's why we have a finance officer and we'll keep employing
those
right people.
So it's really about recognising what your strengths are and where your weaknesses are.
Correct.
And compensating for those.
Yeah, and paying, these days, paying for the right people.
Expertise.
You know, I mentioned we'll have a full-time IT person. We have, as mentioned before, a Pippa, which is our full-time graphic design and marketing person. That's her expertise. We don't want to outsource it. We'll employ those people. They love coming to work.
Well,
I think that's all of my questions, John.
I think that's just about done. Thank you very much for your time. Is there anything you'd like to add about your business that we haven't covered?
Yes,
come in and buy some paper.
If you haven't been to Pepe's or the art store or the craft store or the frame store, please visit us. Hopefully we can look after you. Thank you.
Great. Debbie, thanks for your time.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure, guys.
And good luck.
Yeah, thank you very much.